We're doing Michaz Anish. We're up to page Lamed Zayin in these editions. What we're about to read will seem foreign to you guys. The lives you are leading right now, at first glance, would seem antithetical to what the Chaz Anish is about to discuss. But let me remind you that almost everyone that comes to Machon Meir moves on. And although when people come into Machon Meir, they often wonder, why is it that outside shuls do Psukei Dezimra so fast, or when they do Tachanun it goes so fast? Experience shows us that the alumni of Machon Meir feel very comfortable in that environment. Give yourself a few years and suddenly you view things differently. So the Chaz Anish is about to discuss the importance of adult education, the importance of continuous growth, the importance of recognizing that growth does not end when you leave elementary school or high school or college. And that's why I'm saying that to you guys it seems obvious, because every one of you has dedicated time in your lives and prepared yourself to continue your growth beyond what you learned in elementary school, high school, and college. So that's why what the Chaz Anish is about to tell us might seem obvious to you. But remember what happens after you leave Machon Meir. Then it's very hard to look at life and say to ourselves, hey, you know, I really got to keep growing. I'm not done yet. One of the worst things that happens to Ger is that he finishes his gear. He's striving for that his whole time. Right, that's great. The problem is that a person doesn't feel like that's the beginning. He feels like that's the end. And very often, it's from there downhill and not uphill. It's very hard to continue growth because a person feels like, I've been working for this day and now I've made it. No, you've been working to start on this day. Now you have to make it. This is the starting point, not the end point. But that's not the feeling. It's very natural that when a person's been fighting for something, working for something, striving for something, and he finally gets it, he feels like, that's it, now he can sit back. And that's natural. But you understand that it backfires. That's the starting point. That's the real starting point. So now let's hear the Chaz Anish. That was all introductory. I'm just saying the points we're about to read are so important, they might seem obvious to you now, but remember that in the long run, they're not obvious at all. Min ha-murgalut lachshov lechova. It's common that people think it's mandatory liyased yeshivot ligadel banim la-Torah. People think you have to establish a yeshiva, you have to establish institutions so our children will grow in Torah. Everyone recognizes how important it is to produce Talmidei Chachamim, people who are learned in Torah. Everyone looks up to it. People value it as something extraordinary, having someone who is learned. People recognize that the generation needs leaders, and so we have to establish education so that we will produce leaders and people who are knowledgeable in Torah. But this recognition of developing students to being Talmidei Chachamim works within parameters. We think that yeshivas have to work within a parameter. Only a certain age is fit for that developmental process called learning in yeshiva. V'doreshet mimenu tzirut muchletet. So there's this demand, you want to go to yeshiva, you have to be young. You have to be completely young. You have to be learning Aleph Beis. So we'll let you in, we'll teach you Aleph Beis, we'll teach you reading, we'll teach you Tanakh, we'll teach you Mishnah. Ah, now we can form a Talmud Chacham out of you, because we've gotten you as from the start. Ach zeh shekvar nitbager, but when you look at someone who's already matured, uva bashanim, someone who's come of age, ve'lo lamad bialduto, if he hasn't learned as a child, people think he cannot be a Talmud Chacham. He never learned. He's already an old man. He's already mature. People already think of an adult as someone who cannot really attain wisdom. If he hasn't gotten it yet, so he's not going to get it now. People often look at themselves and don't feel any obligation to go and acquire Torah. This is what I learned, this is what I know, this is the Jew I am. And again, all of you will say, but that's not true, look at me, you're all adults who came to learn Torah, you're exceptional. And the question is, what will you do next year and the year after that? So right now, you've done an exceptional move. And Machon Meir is an exceptional place. I would just add that at least 50% of the staff here, and it's probably closer to 90% of the staff here, began as Machon Meir students. When you look around you in all the departments here, the staff here, the teachers in Machon Meir, Rabbi Gun speaks about his time on the kibbutz. He and Ehud Barak grew up on the same kibbutz. They served together in the army. He often tells the stories about how he started reading Shema Yisrael, trying to understand what's really going on in Shema. The Machon is built on staff that started out as students here. That's exceptional. But that's part of the goal that should be before you. The idea that every one of you can grow and become big in Torah. Makiru chova likviut itim na Torah. The average person recognizes he has to have a set time every day learning Torah. He figures, what I got to do is review what I already know. Let me learn a little bit of Parsha. Ask yourself, where do you see yourselves in 5 years? God willing, you'll have a wife, you'll have a family, you'll be starting out. How much Torah do you think you'll be learning? What do you think you'll be learning? Pretty much reviewing what you already know. How many of us really think that in 5 years, we have to strive to be giants in Torah? Come on, you got to live life. There's a lot of other things to do. The Chazon Ish says that's not right. The goal to be a Talmud Chacham shouldn't end. The obligation to grow, to ascend, to elevate oneself seems distant to the average person. The average person falls asleep with this sleepy yeush. We sort of give up on ourselves. We despair, that's the word, thank you. The average person has a sleepy sense of despair when it comes to his own growth. There reaches a point where a person figures, I can plateau, my graph of personal growth is now going to be a straight line. Straight, not ascending. But that's not what the Torah expects us to do. Ki chovat ha'adam b'olamo, man's responsibility in this world, kol od hanshama bekirbo, so long as he's still breathing, lishtadel liot olech v'gadel. A person's supposed to continue striving to grow. Ve'im omnam alomed zaken, even though our sages said teaching an older person is like writing on paper that has erasure marks, it's old paper, it's been written on and erased and written and again, and you're writing now something new when you're teaching someone older. Aval lagodel yikrat ha'chokhma v'ravarka gam diyo ha'chokhma laniyar ha'machuk en erech aleha ven mispar. Being that wisdom is so precious, so then the value of that die that's being used to write on this erased paper, we cannot imagine how valuable it is. Now, I have to tell you that in my own life, I've encountered this. I had a conversation which left its scars on me for years. I spoke to one of my teachers when I was 18 or 19, and the teacher told me, cover as much ground as you can now, because your memory at 18, 19, 20 is totally different than your memory at 27 and 30 and 32. It's downhill. Now you can retain things. You'll learn things now. What you learn now will be with you for life. And what you learn later, you have to work much harder to retain. So that became my motto. I tried covering a lot of ground, 18, 19, 20, 21. But then one fine day, I had a 30th birthday. And his words echoed in my mind. And from that point onward, I was still working to learn, but I kept feeling like, you see, I see it here, I see it there. I'm working harder and I don't remember. And then when I was about 33, I had the good fortune to walk with Rabbi Nachum Rom. Rabbi Rom is a person who knows the Shas by heart. I could tell you stories about him, but he's one of those phenomenal people that you can ask him, where does Abaye or where does Rav Nachman show up in the fourth chapter of Tractate Megillah, and he'll go, and start telling you. That's the brilliant mind he is. So I once was walking with him from a bus stop to yeshiva, and I asked him if he has tips on remembering things. You know, figure he's the person to ask. So as we were talking, I said, how do you find learning at your age? He's in his 60s. So he said, remarkable. I said, don't you find the memory goes downhill, that it's not what it was when you were 20 or 30? He says, on the contrary, I find I'm remembering things now that I couldn't remember when I was younger. Things don't, no, it doesn't exactly work that way. If you work and you focus, then you can retain things at 60 also. So I walked away from that conversation. My world was recreated. You know, wow, okay. So maybe things don't have to be downhill. He started curing me from the scars of my youth, or the perceived scars. So yes, when a person ages, it's like you're writing on erased paper. But the Chazon Ish says, but the value of what's being written is so precious that who cares that it's on erased paper? You still got to write. Don't give up just because you say, I'm already an old piece of hide. I have so many erasure marks. So what? But the value is invaluable. And how great is the loss of people who are middle-aged. You have so many people who never learned Talmud as a kid. They still value Torah. I know people like that.
Oh,
beautiful. So there are people who can say Torah is so valuable, but I don't have any hand in that. I have to tell you guys a story from this past Shabbos. Our story begins a little over a year ago. A little over a year ago, I gave a speech in shul. It was, I think, the night of Shavuos. And I spoke about the fear people have of learning Talmud. And the fact that adults will sometimes say, I can't do that. And it's not true. They can do that. And a person has to overcome that fear and work on it, and he can do it. And there's a famous story about Rav Moshe, that there was someone in Rav Moshe's yeshiva who never learned a page of Talmud, and he was already an old man, and he came to Rav Moshe and he said, I want to learn. And they set him up with a chavrusa, and he'd sit there and word by word translate and then look at it. And he worked months to get one page of Talmud down. And when he finished that page, he invited Rav Moshe Feinstein. It was, I think, close to a year's work. It was the first page he finished in Talmud. He bought a huge kiddush. He bought cakes and wine. And they made this huge party to celebrate. He finished his first page in Shas. And 2 days later, he died. You know, he died that week. The week he made that party.
Did he party too hard?
I don't think he partied too hard. But The story, everyone was amazed. You know, this person had wanted to learn, and when he finally finished one page, he celebrated it with such happiness. Rav Moshe joined in the celebration. He said, for sure, for him, it's a siyum. He worked so long and so hard to get that one page, to understand one page in Shas. Most of us can finish a page in Shas. It won't take us months. And if it does, it doesn't matter, because the next page will go easier, and the next page easier. Growth is exponential. But we can't give up on ourselves. The fact that a person hasn't learned, I know a person who's a grandfather already, and he's a genius. He's a genius in computers. He's brilliant. But he thinks he can't learn Talmud. So Shas Mishnayos, he finishes time and again. Tanakh, other things he can learn. But Gemara, I can't do Gemara. Why can't he do Gemara? He sends all his kids to learn Gemara. His kids finish Shas. But he feels like he can't do it. And it's all up here. You know, if he dedicated himself to it, he could be a big Talmud Chacham. So I said this in a speech a year ago. And this past Shabbos, a Jew comes in and tells me, you should know, till that speech, I never learned Gemara. And after that speech, I picked up a Gemara and decided I'm going to try. and I got a chavrusa, and I started working day after day after day. And this past Shabbos, he came and told me he made the first siyum in his life, the first track that he ever finished. So he decided he's going to work. So he worked with Art School. He worked a whole year, and he took the easiest tractate. But so what? But he finished it. And now he's already moving on to the next one. Says the Chazon Ish, you have all these people who value Torah, and they recognize its importance, but they've given up on themselves. ומרוב מרצם והשתדלותם זכו לסדר חיים בבית המדרש ושם בבית המדרש יבלו זמנם לריק וכוחם לבטלה. And people work very hard sometimes to make it to Beis Medrash. I don't know if you guys noticed, there are many beautiful Batei Medrash which have excellent coffee rooms. And there are people who will work very hard to get there for that hour or two of drinking coffee. They spend the time in Beis Medrash and they'll talk politics. They'll do a lot of things. I don't know if you guys have this, but some years we have classes where people try to turn the whole class into political discussion. You know, if the government would, then we wouldn't, then things wouldn't. There's a lot of politics you could talk about. Is that what you came to yeshiva for? So the Chazon Ish says you have people who work very hard to arrange their schedule so they can make it to a Beis Medrash, and then in the Beis Medrash, it all goes to waste. Did you notice this new print that came out on Shas? Did you hear what happened around the corner last week? Wait a second, I got to go grab a cup of coffee. Let me just return that phone call. Their whole schedule can go to waste. They don't recognize man's obligation in a true form. Part of it is that a person feels like, it's not my obligation, I'll call the rabbi, he'll give me an answer. What do you mean? You be the rabbi. When I came to be interviewed in Kochav Yaakov, they asked me, what's your goal with our community? I said, my goal is in 20 years, every one of you should know what I know now so that I can leave and you could be the rabbis. So I wasn't joking. I was serious. I want to work with them. I want them to know. I don't think there's a goal, let me have a rabbi, I could go to him and ask him all the questions. No, there's a goal, everyone should be the rabbi. The Torah is for free. Torah munachat bekeren zavit. You can't be a king. That was given to King David's family. You can't be a kohen unless you're a descendant of Aaron. But every one of you can be a talmid chacham. That's up to any person. You want to learn, you could know it. So the reason why that a person can let the time fly by is because he doesn't feel that obligation. Why do I have to know? Of course I have to know. Every one of us has to know. Umeral ra yetzula kel bichvot torat halacha. And what happens next is that people say, you know, so halacha is not so important. First they think it, then they say it. He says, well, it's obvious. If a person is not learning halacha, he doesn't want to be embarrassed. So it can't be that he's wrong. Must be that halacha is not so important. And the next step is, you look at the people who teach halacha and you say, he's not so perfect either. Because again, I have to defend myself. And what happens next is that a person looks down at the one who does know halacha and looks up at himself. Because you will find that the people who know least are the ones that are most arrogant. Arrogance has a tendency to find its resting place with those that lack knowledge. In that person's lap, arrogance finds a pleasant setting. What can you demand of a person who's never tasted wisdom? So the Chazon Ish says a person has to strengthen himself to be able to learn halacha. Learning halacha means learning the Tanakh, learning the Mishnah, learning the Gemara, and understanding from the Gemara how we get to halacha. And now the Chazon Ish just answered what all of you were thinking. He says, don't pay attention to despair. That is the cruel destructor here. That is the cruel, how would you say, terminator? The cruel terminator is frustration, despair. That's what destroys a person. He says, I can't do it. What do you mean you can't do it? I remember I was in yeshiva, I had many times that I thought I was worthless. Many times. I could tell you many stories. I'll tell you just a few, okay? Just a few. when, I shouldn't say which year, but when I wasn't even a bar mitzvah yet, and a Rebbe said about me to the other classmates, I don't think he's going to be an Orthodox Jew by the time he reaches bar mitzvah. That was before my bar mitzvah. And then when I finally went to a very good yeshiva, and someone there who was disposed of right after I left, but he decided he has an important position there, he came over to me and said to me, to my face, I've seen a lot of people come here, I've seen a lot of people leave here, and you're one of the people that are not going to amount to anything. Like that, in front of everyone, in front of Shul. You're not going to amount to anything. You're not going to amount to anything. What? He meant your learning's worthless and you're not going to get anywhere with your learning. And then I came to Israel and I was in the lowest shir and I couldn't handle a single chavrusa. And I couldn't understand the word of shir. And the class. The shiur. I couldn't follow class for beans. And I could tell you more stories along the way. But there were many times where, I'll tell you just one more story. I had a friend who decided he was going for smicha. So there was an easy smicha test you can do. And I decided, hey, it's not a bad idea. I get a degree. So I sat and I learned the first, it was like an open book test where they gave you the questions and you could study it. I figured it's not a bad idea. I sat and I learned the first question and I learned the chapter in the Codex, the Tur, the Beis Yosef Shulchan Aruch, that corresponds to the first question. And then I wrote the first answer. And then I decided, let me check what one more commentary writes. And the way I learned the Beis Yosef, there were six answers. There were six different opinions quoted in the Beis Yosef. The question was, why do we do Hadacha Kamaisa when we salt meat? So we wash off the meat before we salt it, and then we wash off the salt again. Why do we wash it before we salt it? So my understanding in the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, I thought there were six opinions. So I wrote six opinions. I finished writing my answer, and I wanted to look at one more work. I look at that work, and he summarizes everything it says in Rav Yosef Karo to two opinions. I read him, I went back to Rav Yosef Karo, I went back to him, I went back to Rav Yosef Karo, I said, I don't know how to learn a word. I closed the books, I said, I'm not doing this. I gave up on smicha at that point in my life. I said, years later, I came across the later commentaries who ask on him and say, you can't join all six opinions into two. There are distinct differences. What was bothering me with his understanding had bothered others. But at that point, I didn't see that. I said, I don't know how to learn because I see six and he sees two. If he sees two and I see six and everyone respects him, so then I'm missing something. Closed the books, left the smicha program. And then the following year, I was learning Erevin. Every night, all alone, plowing away at Erevin. Now, Erevin talks measurements of how you build an Erev, right? So it's pretty important to know measurements. I had finished two chapters, meaning I had finished a fifth, over 20 pages of Erevin, working my head off. And I went and asked one of the rabbis a question. I was stuck on a piece of the Gemara. And the rabbi said to me, that's not four tfachim, that's four amos. But that's not four amos, that's four tfachim. And I suddenly realized that everything I learned, I hadn't paid attention where it said arba and arba'ah. Arba is arba amot, arba'ah is arba'ah tfachim. So everything I learned was a mumble jumble in my head. I learned 20 pages and I didn't know which one was four amot, which is like this big, and which one was four tfachim, which is like this big. So here I was, I had spent a month and a half and I knew nothing. I looked back at what I had spent that last month and a half. I closed the Gemara. I walked out of Beis Medrash. I took a long walk around the park. And I had to force myself back into the Beis Medrash. You know, there goes Erevin. I couldn't open an Erevin again for another few months. So I was devastated. So you know how many times I looked at myself and I didn't like what I saw. I thought, come on, I'm never going to understand this. Over and over and over again. You can't give up. That's what Chazon Ish says. Frustration is the cruel terminator. He finishes us. If we're willing to be frustrated with ourselves and say, I'm not going to do it, then I'm really not going to do it. If I say, okay, I fell, I got to get back up again. I don't have much of a choice. I can do this. I'll work again. I messed up. So I'm telling you, I just gave you short stories. I can tell you more stories. More times that I fell on my face. Like you spend a month and a half and you realize you don't know anything. It's pretty sad. Okay. So, get up. Start again. You don't have another choice. But that's what the Chazon Ish is saying here. Very often we feel like, I'm too old for this. No, you're not. No. The ink is too precious. You can't say, because I'm an old slate and I've got so many scratches, I shouldn't write on myself. No, write. Write a new story. And the ink is too precious. So that's, Chazon Ish says, very often people think, wait, you get a kid, you could teach him. But we're already too old for that. No, we're not. If we're willing to work, we're not.